First reading to Psalm 55. Verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. To the chief musician upon Neginoth, Maskil, a psalm of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it on the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell. For wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so let's do a little bit of work, first of all, on the psalm title and then the history of the psalm itself. The psalm title is indeed very familiar to us. It's a familiar title. Notice, first of all, to the chief musician, which reminds us every time we read it that the psalms were written for public worship. Now, over and again we see this in Scripture, and may I say that it is a lament, a grief, it ought to be a lament and grief to any Bible believer to note how the psalms are neglected today in many places in public worship. They were obviously written for public worship. Can't be denied. The second thing is that it is on Neginoth, so probably a reference to strings or an instrument of some kind. Third, it is a maskil, right? Comes from the Hebrew word shakal, which means wisdom or instruction. So it's a maskil, and then it is by David. It's a psalm of David. Now, when we hear that historical reference, that it is a psalm of David, and we hear about a betrayal, then that puts us to work historically. And there were a few times in David's life when he was betrayed. So it is difficult to know exactly which time here, but there is an indication. There is a man that is spoken of a little bit later on in the psalm, verse 13, 12 and 13. It wasn't an enemy, it was an equal, an acquaintance, someone who was within David's circle of support. At least he was within that circle, although he himself was not truly a supporter. This has driven most commentators, faithful, godly commentators, those who speak of David's authorship of the psalm, who received the psalm titles as inspired. This will push them into thinking more along the lines of Ahithophel. You remember Ahithophel? He was David's counselor, and that's why we hear that word guide, mine equal, guide. David relied on him for counsel. But at Absalom's rebellion, what happened? Ahithophel went back and joined Absalom's court instead of following David. So this has led many to think that this psalm was written upon the occasion of Absalom's rebellion. Notice also that David will say, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away into the wilderness," which is kind of what he did, right? Went all the way past Jordan, across Jordan, and was met out there in the Transjordania by Barzillai. Remember Barzillai and his relief to all of those that were traveling with David that night. So, and then there was some intelligence that David had received. Remember, that was, don't spend the night. March all night. Get across Jordan. Get as far away as you can, because Hushai, the Archite, is only able to hold off what Ahithophel has said with Absalom for a short while. So get as far away as you can. It's a very interesting, it's one of those action-adventure portions of the Old Testament. Okay, so with that then, as a background, this is a very interesting portion because, well, let me say it this way. This is my opinion, so please hear it, but one who has studied the Scriptures at least. My opinion is that this psalm was written on that particular historical occasion, but that David is not particularly concerned about his life. The thing that David speaks most about here as being that which has come up against him and threatens him are the words of his enemy. Over and again, we hear that it's the words of the enemy that are most grievous to him. Well, he was fleeing for his life from Absalom, but he focuses on Ahithophel instead, and the words that Ahithophel would speak as his enemy. Well, what that does is it takes a very real historical circumstance that David was under, and it adapts it for the people of God of all time. We may not ever, perhaps, be under the threat of some kind of physical violence, but I don't think there's a person in this auditorium that has not had evil words spoken about them. Interesting, isn't it? And so David focuses then on words. First of all, he says, "Give ear unto my prayer, hide not thyself from my supplication, attend unto me and hear me. I mourn, make my complaint, make a noise, because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. They cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me." That's where he begins. He begins with false accusation, with casting iniquity upon him, with words of accusation and insult and oppression. Lord willing, this afternoon, as we move on to the third principle, the third thing that God hates, violence, hands that shed innocent blood, we're going to see the connection between violent words and violent deeds. There's a connection there. Violence is not always physical violence. There is such a thing as violent words. Just a cursory reading through the Proverbs will make that known, right? Over and again, we hear about words being weaponized, to use a modern term that has become very popular. And they can be weaponized. Words can be weaponized. And they can do injury. There's a our words can heal, or they can hurt. Our words can encourage, or they can bring despair. And so the first thing that I think it would be proper for us all to consider as we come to Psalm 55 is, let us make sure, let us take great care and keep great watch over our words. Let us make sure that we're using our words in a godly way. How far did Jesus go with this? In the Gospels, he says, by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. The Lord takes what we say very seriously. And in a day when words are not taken very seriously because they are so outlandish and unbelievable, we are especially liable then to make sure that our words are seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, that they are indeed savory, savory in God's sight. That's what salt means, savory in His sight. All right, so that's the first section there. And as David introduces this with his right use of words and then with the wrong use of words. The other thing that I want to bring out from that first section, verses 1 through 8, is David's freeness of confession and familiarity before the Lord. Right? David can bring before the Lord just about anything, it seems. He is open and free. The Psalms are once again a wonderful example of the gamut of human difficulty and strife, emotion, if you will, affliction, and even on the other side of that, praise and exaltation. And in all of it, we see David with openness and candor before the Lord. Pour out your complaint then before the Lord. He purports himself, he advances himself and advertises himself to be a good listener to those who call upon him. And then note the desire to fly away. The desire to fly away. Now, there are several things. I mean, you know, I was thinking about it this week. I think I could preach about 7 or 8 sermons on that. Just think about the times in Scripture where men of God fled, and then other times when men of God stood. Or women, doesn't matter. I mean, think about that, how that there are times where the better part of wisdom is to live to preach another day, right? Like being let down in a basket over the city, the city wall of Damascus under Aretas the governor. That's what Paul says. The other time when Paul was ready, I mean, they were holding him back. He was going to go right out into the middle of the controversy in Ephesus, you know, and there's, I don't know how many people there. Great is Diana of the Ephesians for like 2 hours over and again. They said that. Remember that? But he heeded the counsel of his brethren and didn't adventure himself into the arena at that point. But then there were other times where he stands very strongly, very dutifully. And so I thought about this. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly. Now, let's not take that in the wrong sense. Let's not take it in the sense of, this is hard, I'm out of here. That's never scriptural, that kind of thing. We don't want to give up. We don't want to shirk or flee our post, our duty, what God has put into our hands to do. Often I have talked to couples that are having difficulty, and sometimes you'll hear one of them say, it would be better if we never got married. Nope. God doesn't make mistakes like that. He doesn't have those kinds of difficulties. He has put you in your marriage for a particular reason, for your holiness, for your advancement in faith. That's why he did what he did. And so there are times when flight is okay, but there are times when it is not. There are things we have that the Lord has put into our hands that we cannot simply put down. We know those things. Gentlemen, you cannot cease to provide for your family. You don't have that option. Ladies, you cannot cease to care for your children when you have them. You know, in a way that is more intimate than your husband may because of his labors. You don't have that option. There are things we cannot simply fly away from. But then there are other things where it is okay to live to preach another day. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about all of the situations that arise in our lives where we are tempted. And what does the world tell us? Well, just give up. If it's hard, don't do it. Give it up. Right? But some of the best work, listen to me carefully, brothers and sisters. Some of the best work you will ever do will be the most difficult, the most taxing. And it will bring with it the greatest rewards. Do not rob yourself of your reward. Don't let others do that either. All right, so the next section then. Notice what the imprecation is. Listen, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. He's still talking about speech. Divide their tongues. In other words, while they have gathered together in a single accusation against me, divide them, confuse them. You know, Lord, like you did at Babel, when they put their tongues against heaven and you confused them. Do that now for thy people's sake. Divide the enemy and their unified accusation against thy people, against me, against thy people, largely applied. For I have seen violence and strife in the city, and we note it here, we'll note it later on today, Lord willing, how that violence in words sometimes leads to violence in deed as well. This is another reason why we must watch what we say and not indulge ourselves in violent speech. Indulging ourselves in violent speech often leads to an indulgence in something greater than simple speech. So be very careful. We've talked about outside in and inside out, right? Both are true in their own spheres. They're not true contradictorily, but they are true in their own spheres. Okay, so he's asking then that the Lord would divide their tongues. Then he's asking also that he would be vindicated, the psalmist himself would be vindicated. Again, we have imprecations, and whenever we see imprecations in the Psalter, we must remember what the context of imprecations must be. They must always be God's enemies and not your own. If you're praying against your enemies, here's my counsel to you. Make sure they're God's enemies first. Right? Make sure they're God's enemies first. Sometimes the Lord will raise up an enemy as a foil to correct you. Right? Be careful there. Don't be so quick to imprecate. David, throughout the Psalter, as we see him do so, this is always against God's enemies that he rises up with such difficult and strong speech. Again, I'm going to recommend to you the book by James Adams. That's his name. James Adams. It's called The War Psalms of the Prince of Peace. The War Psalms of the Prince of Peace. A very short and yet concise, good study on the imprecatory psalms. Note also the familiarity of the enemy. This is in that center section of the psalm. Very difficult. It is always more difficult to bear when it is a friend or a supposed friend that betrays you. But remember that if we put our confidence in men, we will be disappointed. Everyone will fail us. David will, you know, often in the Psalms there are those extreme statements that rise up to the top, right? David says, when my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. You couldn't think of your mother or father ever forsaking you. And David is not saying, you know, they're just meanies and they sent me out. He's talking about when they forsake me, when they can no longer care for me, when they themselves succumb to the ravages of this life. When I lose my father and my mother, the Lord will take me up. So we must not rest or trust in men. All right, and then in the final section, verses 16 through the end, hustling here, David resolves to call upon the Lord. And the first thing I want you to note is the frequency. The frequency. What does David say? Verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening, morning, and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. There are two things there, right? David's diligence and God's love to hear his people. He's not going to get tired of hearing you because you've come morning, evening, and noon. Oh, you may wear out if people come to you like that, but the Lord will not wear out. Don't impute your weakness to him. Instead, continue calling upon his name. He then recalls the Lord's mighty acts of benevolence in the past. And notice once again that David is not talking about escaping. He's talking about his words. Once again, words come to the fore in Psalm 55. All right, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. That's an interesting way to say what? That the wicked take the long-suffering and patience of God to be disinterestedness on his part. And that would be a horrible miscalculation, right? Psalm 50 makes that explicit also. You thought I was altogether one such as yourself. You thought I was like you, God says. But no, I will take your sins and I will set them in order before your eyes. This is how Psalm 50 puts it. So, my dear brothers and sisters, let us not think that if God has for a time providentially afflicted us, even though we have gotten ourselves wound up in some besetting sin, let us not think that his patience means that he is disinterested. Rather, keep close accounts. Confess and forsake your sins when you are apprised of them. And then finally, notice smooth words are sometimes daggers and swords, right? The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. So once again, we're talking about words here and how they can be used, how they can be weaponized. The psalm closes then with casting our burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. All right, well, let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.